All right, well, thank you so much, Teresa. And like I said, as a church, it's just so neat to see how God uses all the gifts and talents. And that's what we've been talking about for the last, 5 weeks now. We've started this series called I Love My Church. And if you didn't notice, I've got my nice red I Love My Church shirt on, and we've got a lot of our black ones out there. I like over by mom's house, I drive by the Sittons home, and then by the Wootons home, and then by my mom's home, and there's like three or four houses all right in that little area that all have their I Love My Church signs out in there in the yard. It's been really neat. So what I'm going to do today is to kind of just take a little time and conclude our I Love My Church series. And to do that, we're going to do a review for those who maybe haven't been here the whole time. And then we're going to add just the last thing on why we should love our church. Now, when we say, I love my church, we mean specifically Waller Baptist Church, but we also mean generally we love what church is about. Whether it's a Methodist church, a Baptist church, an independent church, any healthy, growing church, we should say, I love church. Now, why should we say that? And that's what we've been talking about. I'm going to just take it kind of one step at a time. The first thing I want to say is that Jesus, when he was here on the earth, did this great teaching in John chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. We're only going to be there for a few minutes. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I want to say to you today is that Jesus said this, and I agree with this, and I want to see if you agree with this, that Jesus is the light of the world. Do you agree with that? You're awake. That's awesome. Jesus, in fact, I brought an illustration. I brought a light bulb. And we can all say this today. I think everyone in here, most everybody in here, can say that at one point this light came into your life. And from that moment, you no longer walked in darkness. That you now have the light of Christ inside you. I have the light of Christ in me, and it makes all the difference in the world. How many times do we say that? How could that person get through that without Jesus? How can they get through this thing that causes them to stumble, that causes them to fall, without the light of Jesus? I just want to say that that is primary. That's what the Bible is all about, from cover to cover, that the light of the world came into this world to dispel the darkness, and that's what this is all about. But in that, as Jesus says he's the light of the world, if we go a little bit farther and over to John chapter 12, in verse number 32, he says this, he said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. So now we've got something a little bit different. Here the scriptures kind of talking about two different things. First is Jesus dying. That's him being lifted up, right? That's him being lifted up, and as he lifted up and died for our sins. But there's a second meaning in there, because we see it in so many other scriptures, is this thought of if we take this incredible light, this incredible truth, this incredible thing that we don't want to drop, and we just hide it, it doesn't do much. It can do much. God's going to do what God's going to do. But God said this. He said, if you take this light that you've got that's so precious to you and you lift it up, then suddenly you're in a different thing. We'll read some scriptures in a minute. He said, if you put it on a lampstand and you don't cover it up, it's going to shoot out light for everybody. So there's this thought that Jesus is the light, And now there's a second thought that says we need to have something that lifts that light up in this world. And guess what God planned to be that mechanism that lifts that light up in the world? His church. It's His church. It's you individually, but it is us as a whole. And how do I know that? Well, I mean, we just see it through the scriptures. Jesus, in the book of Acts that we spent a whole year walking through, dies on a cross in the Gospels. In the first part of Acts, he talks to the disciples, tell them what their job is. Then he goes up into heaven. And the very next thing we read is that a church, a group of people, start meeting. And it says they encouraged each other, and they sang, and they listened to the disciples' teaching, and they met in each other's homes. And if there was any need, they gave money to meet the need. And it says, as soon as Jesus went up, he said, there it is. That's going to be how I'm lifted up in this world. It's going to be the church. Let's say it again. I love the church. Couldn't God have done it a different way? Well, sure. God could have. Did God do it a different way? He did not. And that's why it's in the scriptures. That he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm sending my son. Once my son leaves, the mechanism for raising him up is going to be this thing called the church. After that church is formed, what do we read about in the rest of Acts? Paul and Peter going around starting more churches, right? And then we have all these letters to the churches. And then in Revelations, you know, it kind of brings it back around again to the churches. Are you seeing a pattern here? When Jesus was here, he taught love. He taught all the lessons. Then he died for our sins. And he says, if there is something here on this earth that will lift me up, I will draw all men to me. He left the church. And therefore, here's what we've been trying to say during this whole time, is what is happening here is important. It's not just, why do we come to church on Sunday? I come to church to read some scriptures. I come to church because, you know, that's what my mom's done and my grandmom's done and my great-grandmom's done. And all those things are important. But if we don't hear this, that God said, I need to be lifted up. And the method he showed us of doing that is his church. Therefore, the church is so vitally important. And we've got to get our minds around this, because so many times we don't hold it up as vitally important. And that's why we have so many empty seats. If it's truly important. So over these last few weeks, we've talked about why, you know, if we have the light of the world, do we have empty seats? And we said first some important things about the church. If we want to be a church that is lifting up the Lord, the first thing we got to realize is that God has given the church lots of different parts. Right? So we want to be something that lifts up the light, but this is how God said it. He says, I'm going to take some people that are some shades. I'm going to take some people that are more rigid. I'm going to take some people that can stand tall. I'm going to have some people that are the base. You know, I'm going to have some people that are the little silver thing at the very end of that. We're going to take all of that, and we're going to make a church. And so in our first week of doing this, you know, our simple thought was that if you are a Christian, you are uniquely created to be a part of this. And so as we start putting this together, pouring it out wasn't the best idea. Let's get that straightened. Well, this feels like our church sometimes, doesn't it? There we go. So our first thing is, every one of these parts are important. Every one of them. I think I've got to go over the base. I think that's what, there it is. Is that the puzzle part of it? And it comes out the other end. Yes. Okay. We've got to have all the parts here. Listen, if you are saved and you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and God says, here's why I left you here. I want to be you to be a part of this thing that lifts me up in the world. In fact, it said in John chapter 12, he said, He says, if I'm lifted up, he said, and if I'm lifted up from the earth, this is John 12, 32, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said, I'm leaving you here because we need to tell the whole world about this light. But if you accept Jesus in your heart and you say, I don't need the church. Now, what do we have here? We've got a problem, right? We've got a big problem because that's the part that goes into this part that then allows the other part to come up through that. I mean, that's an important part. But for some reason, if we don't understand this idea that God says the best thing for you is to be a part of this body of believers. So that was our first Sunday that we talked about this. It's important for you to know that we're all needed here. We're all important here. We need to love each other. We don't need to say, oh, you know, I don't need that part. I don't need that part. We need to understand, we need to come together more. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing lots of fellowships, right? You know, we did our big chili cook-off, and then a couple of weeks ago, we did our pray and play. That was wonderful. We got together and prayed for 30 minutes as a church and then played some games. And it's just this thought of just being together, just realizing that there's a purpose in me being here. So that was number one. But then there's this next thought of each of us needs to learn how to start coming together and using our gifts and talents. We said serving each other. What you're going to find is that when you get into a church environment where God is saying, I'm putting together something that's going to lift me up, suddenly you figure out why you got some threads down here, right? Suddenly you realize why some things are kind of rigid and some things are kind of pliable, but we need them both. You start seeing that what I do is important to this whole picture of the church. And so we said this, why is church important? Church is important because we serve each other here. And in serving each other, we start learning that how God made us is important. We start learning our purpose in life, and we start learning how what we do affects other people. And then suddenly we start seeing this thing take some shape. Sorry, whoever that was that I dropped. And so as we do that, this thought of why is church, why do I love church? Because my gifts, my talents are important. Now, I've got a lamp. I've got this one screwing in up there. I've got the light bulb, and I've got the shade. What else am I missing? The power. Okay, so I'm going to go two different ways with that. You know, first off, we got to realize that sometimes as a church, we start doing things, but we start doing it just because that's the thing to do. You know, we don't say, hey, God, we need your power pulling through this. If we can all get together, start using our gifts and talents, encouraging one another, having this fellowship time, ready to shine the light of Jesus, but we don't have a power source, we're in trouble. But the second thing is, you know, I don't know if this really fits the thought, but the other day, I was at my mom's house and I had to sleep over there, and I went to charge my phone. And I plugged my phone into the wall and I went to bed, and when I woke up in the morning, my phone was dead. And I went, what happened? And I looked, and her power outlet, apparently one of the things doesn't work on it. And so I had it plugged into a dead plug. And I just kind of thought about that as we talked last week about money. We talked about finances at the church. We talked about how each one of us giving is so important. Does God need our money? No. God has all the money in the world. But God says part of this coming together is for us all to give 10% of what He's given us back to the church. To me, that pays the light bill, right? You know, if we come in and go, boy, I'm using everything, I'm learning about God, I'm serving, but the light bill hadn't been paid, and we go to plug in and nothing's there. I just love that thought that we talked about last week. You know, it's either we're going to trust in money or we're going to trust in God. It's the only place where Jesus did that. And if we say, I trust in God, and God says give 10%, here's the cool thing. When we do that, God blesses the 90% that we have, and then that 10% from all the different parts goes to pay the power bill. And so we plug in to some power. I'm sure there's some power right back here, so we'll just kind of plug in right here. All right. And now we've got the power. We've got all the people doing what they're doing. We're serving. We're loving. We've got the light of the world. Oh, first you put this on. Then you screw that in. And then, are y'all ready? Woo! I was looking down at that thing when I turned it on. Here's what Jesus said. He said, if I be lifted up, if the church comes together and we say, I love the church, because God said it, right? We talked about those verses. We talked about you can come bravely into the throne room of God, but the next thing He says is that we've got to love one another. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, yet it was good that you were there in my troubles. God said, if we do that right there, then suddenly we're doing what we're supposed to do. But I'm going to say, who's the smartest one in here? There's still one thing missing. Anybody know what's missing from my example right now? Any ideas? We got the power. We've got the structure. Everybody's doing their part. We got the light up at the top. What are we missing? What do you think? Oh, that would be good. We're missing the darkness. You see what we did? But we brought our light into this beautiful sanctuary. And we're serving inside our beautiful sanctuary, which I'm all about. Like I said, we need to, the Bible says we need to love each other. We need to show love to each other. And we need to be serving in here. We need to be giving in here. But at some point, we've got to take the light out into the darkness. At some point, we have to take the light out into the darkness. Let me read that scripture to you from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot. And here's my favorite. You are the light of the world. A town built up on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand to give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He said, listen, here's your last thing, church. Why is church important? Church is important because we're part of something. We have a purpose. Church is important because we serve each other. We come together to make something bigger than we are. Church is important because financially we can turn the light on. But here's the last thing. Church is important because we have the ability to go out and share that light. Now, can you share it by yourself? To a certain extent. To a certain extent, you can take your light and go out there and share in the world. But if we all come, have you ever been to one of those things where everybody has a light? And then all of a sudden, all the light starts coming together. And all of a sudden, there's this bright, bright light instead of scattered light. And this is what God said. This is the way I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to have Jesus die. He's going to be the light of the world. Then as a church, y'all come together, bring all your light in. He said, now, put it up on a hill. Take it out into the world so that others can see. Three quick points. Number one, we need to take what we are learning here out into the community. We need to take what we're learning here out into the community. That's why we're doing our Easter egg hunt again this year, right? Because what we're thinking is, you know, we've got the love of Christ. How do we take what we're learning here and take it into the community? I'm going to need us as a church. We're kind of small right now. To say, on that Saturday, we're going to come together. We're going to help Tony and Mandy and the groups that's putting together that Easter egg hunt. And we're going to do it because it's us taking our love and taking it out into the community. It's why we're doing Vacation Bible School, right? I tell you what, my dad pastored a church of 20 people. 20. And he did it for 20 years. And they didn't make much impact except one time every summer when they would do a Vacation Bible School. And they would put it out in the community, we're doing a Vacation Bible School, and the next thing you know, their little church would be full of 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 kids. And you just go, how does this little church do that? And it's that thought of that one time of the year, they're kind of going, how can we take what we're doing here, this life that we have, and take it out into the community? I want us to think of other ways to do that. How do we get outside these walls? Because I love our church. I love that you're loving each other. I love that you're serving each other. I love that y'all are so financially willing to give to our church. But if we don't take it outside the walls, we failed, right? There's no light going out into the darkness. So number one, we got to take what we're learning here out into the community. Number two, we need to live the values of Jesus in our everyday life. We just need to live the life of Jesus in our everyday life. Listen, I'm all for, me and Jack were talking earlier this month about getting some, kind of evangelistic things going in our church. Very important for us to be out evangelizing, saying this is important enough for us to go out. But let me tell you something, that's just part of it. The big part of it is you living your value and your faith at your work, at your school, in your family, in your neighborhood. Listen, they need the light. Let's give it to them. Let's don't smack them over the head with it. You know, I fully believe we need to be out there knocking on doors and just telling people about Jesus. But I also think that we need to be out there just living our godly lives. I remember this one time I was at a Christian concert, took a bunch of teenagers to a Christian concert. And while we were at the Christian concert, thousands of teenagers come to listen to this Christian concert. I look over here and all of a sudden I hear someone yelling about the hellfire and you're going to burn in hell. And I look over and there's this church that has set up this thing on the side of this line of people waiting to get into the Christian concert, telling everybody in that line that Christian music is from the devil and that they were all going to go to hell. And I just sat there and thought, I was going, boy, they just messed it all up. You know, even if that was true, you know, that's not taking your light into darkness. That's out there, you know, taking, fire out into the darkness. You know, it's wrong. And sometimes we get that feeling, oh, if I'm going to go out there and share the love of Jesus with somebody, I'm going to have to smack them over the head and make them feel like they're a bad people. No. No, we need to get out there and take the love of Jesus, the light of Jesus, into a dark world. And we do that, like I said, in our everyday life. The other day, I had on a shirt that said, "Grace wins every time." I love this shirt. I get more comments on this shirt I've got called "Grace Wins Every Time." And I was just over here at the gas station, this gas station up here on the corner. And I walk in. I don't even remember I was wearing the shirt. You know, it was just a shirt I had on that day. I'm picking up what I need. I go up to the counter, and the lady at the counter, who I hadn't seen before, you know, I just said, "How are you?" And she said, "I like your shirt." Well, you know, I'm going, "Well, she brought it up. I didn't." I said, "Okay, God, here we go." And so, you know, I said, "Well, thank you." I said, "I really believe this." I said, "I'm the pastor of the church next door." And I said, "I want to tell you today that Jesus loves you." She said, "Oh, I know Jesus loves me." But she said, "I'm going through some really hard times right now." She said, "Life is just really, really tough." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." And she started explaining about some financial difficulties and some family difficulties. And I looked in that store, and there was not a single soul in there except me and her. So I just looked at her and I said, "Can I pray for you right now?" She said, "Yeah." So I stopped and we just prayed right there in the store. And then I left. And then, you know, I'm just going, well, I just let some light shine. About a week later, I get this phone call. It was from her mother. She said, "I just want to tell you, the fact that you stopped and prayed for my daughter that day, she came home and she said, 'Mom, I know I'm going to get through this because God sent somebody to pray with me today.'" And I just, you know, even if I hadn't got that phone call, I would have still said, "Man, that's great." But when I think about it and just kind of go, how simple was that? You know, I wasn't standing on the street corner telling everybody they were going to hell. What I was doing is in my day, when suddenly something just happened where someone said, "Hey, I like your t-shirt," I just said, "Well, I just need to live out my light here in this community." I mean, you could do what I did. You don't have to be the pastor of the church. You can just, if someone says something and you go, "Wow, can I pray for you right now?" Worst thing they can say is no, but most of the time they say yes. See, if we get out and pray that way. So number one is we need to take what we're learning here and take it out into the community, events and things like that. Number two, we need to live the values of Jesus in our everyday life. And number three is what I was just talking about with Jack. We need to be intentional about telling people about Jesus and invite them to join his family, right? To join his body, to join his lamp. We need to go out there and go, is this light important to me? And if it is important to me, shouldn't we be telling people about Jesus? And you go, "Blake, you know, that's not my spiritual gift." Yeah, some people are going to have the spiritual gift of evangelism. I've seen it before. I've seen a pastor get up and do the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life. I swear, it was the worst sermon I'd ever heard in my life. And at the end of it, he said, "Now, I want to invite you to come and accept Jesus in your heart." And about 30 people stood up and came down front. And I just sat there and I went, "Now, how in the world did this guy that you know, I could have preached circles around." Okay, so I'm not being very humble there, but seriously, I could have. You know, how in the world does he just lay it out there? And then, you know, God just said, "Because I give people the gift of evangelism." There's some people that it's going to come easy to. But just because it comes easy to some people doesn't mean the rest of us don't need to be doing it. You know, I'm not saying you're going to have 30, 40 people, but if you are consistently, when God at least opens the opportunity, saying, "Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus." You know, you get a little track. You know, get a little Romans Road. Get something where you can just say, "Let me tell you about this light that has meant something in my life." Guys, those 3 points. We got to take it out into the community. We've got to live our life to shed light around, and we've got to be willing to tell people about Jesus. I want to take you to John 13 to end it. John 13, very simple verse. Let's do John 13, we'll do 33 through 35. John 13, 33 through 35. It's one that we've read before, but let me read it to you again. John 13, 33 through, Jesus looks down, and he said, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." He said, "I'm the light of the world. I'm only going to be here a little longer. You will look for me just as I told the Jews. So I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." You know, basically saying, "Man, I'm fixing to go up to heaven. It's not your time yet. I've got a reason that you're staying here. A reason. What's the reason? Verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another. Now to love one another, you've got to have some others to love, right? We've got to be serious about this. I love my church. He said, a new command I give you, love, capital L, one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then here's the first 35. By this, everyone. Did y'all get that? Everyone. He said, here's what's going to be that thing that lifts me up. This is going to be that thing where people see the light. He said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. Listen, as we conclude right now, this thought of I love my church, it's just not a little silly thing I put together so that we could get more people in here. It's not just a, hey, Blake's trying to do something kind of different to fill the pews. I mean, I would love if that happened. But here's what I'm going to tell you. It was so important that Jesus said, let me put it this way. A new command. Listen closely. He said, if you want to share the light with the world, if you want to understand what your purpose is, if you want to understand what a group of 50, 60, 70, 80 people could do to dynamically and crazily change this community we're in, it starts with this. It starts with, I love my church. I love one another. And he said, when you do that, he said, you're going to have that light shining, and it's going to draw all people to me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just ask today that first, you just give us an excitement about who you are. God, I pray today that this relationship that we have with you doesn't become some kind of secondary thought that we have, but God, that we go, we owe everything to you. Jesus, that you died on a cross for us. God, let that be the number one thing we think about when we wake up in the morning, the last thing we think about when we go to bed, that there's a God in heaven who loved me so much that he sent his only son to die for me, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God, let that be core to who we are. And God, as we do that, God, bring us together as a body. God, bring all the different parts that we need into here today. And God, let us be a light in this dark world. Father, help us to trust you that you're going to draw all men unto you. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, next week we've got our CMA coming, and Thomas is going to come and share a sermon with us next week. You on it, bud? So come for that. After that, we're going to start rolling a little bit into Easter. We got Easter coming up in April. And then in May, we're going to do a series on what heaven and hell are like, what the Bible says about that. So I'm kind of looking forward to these next couple of months as we as a church grow together, love together, and share out into the world. As we have this time of just thinking about what God's saying to you, the floor is open for anybody who needs to come down and pray. If you've got questions about our church, we'll just open that up right now as Chris plays.